Brass Stacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
Mr. Johnson.
It is.
I'm a first-time caller.
It's good to have you with us, sir.
I had to call when I heard how you dealt with the anti-Americans. You need, there are a few more you have to do that, so never mind what the listeners would say. I listened to this program. I have been listening to it now for years. This is the first time I got to call. And I can tell you, sir, that it is time that something is done about them. You would know the others. I applaud you. And if I could, I would have come down there and I'd leave a check for you for $500 just for your action you took. No, don't laugh, sir. I'm serious.
That might have helped me buy a flak jacket for the licks I would get. So let me say to you, I appreciate your comments. I appreciate all your callers, and I appreciate the input from our listening public, because there are lots of people who listen. John, as the producer, would tell you, he perhaps gets less of it than I do, but we both get it.
Yes.
When persons are dissatisfied, they usually don't talk to the moderator. They usually tell the producer. You tell so-and-so do this, or you tell the moderator this, and it causes the producer to take his focus off of what's being said on air while trying to deal with the call. And sometimes things slip through, and the producer gets canned for letting it slip. So it's a balancing act where people usually tell the producer about their dissatisfaction rather than airing it. So that's why I say I appreciate the call, sir. I thank you for it. It would save us from some of the licks.
It's the first time, but it wouldn't be the last, sir.
I am happy that you made that comment, because have less callers, we'll have more room for new callers. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much.
Continue listening and continue to give us the feedback, both positive and, you know, those that upset you as well. Brass Stacks, good morning.
Good morning. Happy International Men's Day to you, Mr. Johnson.
To you too, sir. Thank you.
This is Fabian Sargent, President of Men Empowerment Network Support.
Men's.
So just calling really to salute men in Barbados, you know, encouraging men to celebrate themselves, encouraging families to celebrate men. You know, we men who have been pillars in the society from the beginning. And I think that we deserve the right to really celebrate our existence and all that we would have done within society, family, and impacting on many lives across the social landscape.
So I had this conversation, a private conversation this morning with another male about the situation of males in particular, males in general. And that's why I was happy to hear David's promo for Brass Stacks Sunday.
Me too.
but I'll tell you the angle. It's this. Over the years, from men's fellowship at churches to organizations like the Boy Scouts, Cubs, Sea Scouts, even the Defense Force, Regiment, Army, those were considered to be male-dominated organizations and areas that looked after, well, the reserve of males. When I read the newspaper and I see 20,000, 30,000 accusations about males molesting males in the Boy Scout movement, it undermines the trust in male organizations. And when I see male organizations being headed by females, it again brings into sharp focus that we have homes led by females, schools headed by females, females teaching all males, and what usually were supposed to be male-dominated areas where males interact and train young males are becoming tarnished by accusations, even church organizations, priesthood, ministers of religion, altar boys. It says that we have a serious challenge about what is a male, how you identify as being manly. When you have even an advertisement saying that you must not abuse your daughters and your children, your girlfriend, and persons with disabilities, and makes it appear in the language that it's males who do the abusing, and they're in the majority, so don't even mention the few minor ones that, you know, may not be part of it. It says to me that even organizations like yours, and I don't even hear much about MESA anymore, that somehow the changing face or the face-saving measures being taken by males really ain't working. And to me, as a male, that's a problem. How do we measure manhood? How do we measure our good name? What is it we need to do so that our young males see being a man as being something that they want to be? That they see male leadership as being something they should assume without feeling, you know, that they're taking away from somebody by saying, I want to lead the process, without saying I've taken it away from the female in my life, without seeing a woman as being, you know, here to hold me up, but I ain't really got to bother too much about what you're doing.
I think
I just don't want to start the discussions by Sunday, you know, you go with it. Because
yeah,
I hope you call or part of the process. Go ahead.
I take many of the points that you raised. I just disagree with you one when you say that we are in the majority when it relates to things. The latter part of your contribution or something like that.
I didn't say we are. That's what's all day in the news. Go and look at it. So when I pick up the newspaper, I see 100,000 cases of, you know, abuse in the Catholic Church, males on male. I see 30,000 in the Boy Scout movement. I ain't see Girl Guides saying that the Girl Guides getting attacked by their female leaders. I see it in the males.
Right. So this is my position
on
it.
We getting licks.
We getting enough licks. It's true, and that's the reason why we've started this organization, because the men getting licks. And there's no denying that.
Are we ducking and hiding?
We can't, but the thing is that we can't throw our hands up in the air and give up either.
No, because when we throw hands in the air, guy can hit too.
We can't give up. What the organization has realized is that we need to do things in a very systematic way, a very small way. I mean, if you try to really rustle the elephant to the ground in one big toss, you can get some challenges. The need is great. Men have some really, really major challenges to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But however, today being International Men's Day, I know that for some reason the discussion would go in this direction.
Mm-hmm.
While we acknowledge that men have challenges,
right,
I would really like this day to really celebrate men like yourself, men that would have made tremendous contributions and impact lives in a positive way. There are them that exist out there. Not all men are bad. Not all men are not parenting their children. Not all men are abusing, are abusive. You know, not all men are not adhering to their responsibilities.
Agreed.
So we want to celebrate those men, though, that are doing such. We want these men to understand that, look, your job is appreciated. You've been doing a good job so far. Continue. Set the examples that we want our sons, our young men, our other family members to see and emulate. You know, we really, really want to highlight the positives today being International Men's Day. I'm not saying that we don't need to address the issues,
mm-hmm,
because my organization would have taken the chance to start something called Man Talk, because mm-hmm, we realize that the emotional intelligence of men has been, you know, a major challenge for many, many men, and it is the real foundation to how we behave. You know, mm-hmm,
can't disagree with you on that.
Yeah, men traditionally have had many issues with dealing with their emotions, and that could have been seen in how their parent, relationships, mm-hmm, working relationships, intimate relationships, and many of that starts from childhood. It's how our boys are socialized, how society sees our boys, and we need to find some way to start with that change. Now, you mentioned something about leadership in your contribution.
Mm-hmm,
that is a very, very touchy topic, because mm-hmm, while many men while many of us see leadership as a role for men, there is this counter argument that, so why women can't be leaders too?
And you see, and sir, that is the same thing I pointed out to the lady who made the contribution about transport board, which was why I quickly said, men must not be afraid to say, I will take the lead in this. Not because I am a leader by the fact that I'm male, but I am taking the lead in this because I want to lead. There are cases where you say to your partner, you got the lead on that one. I'm following you. I got your back. So when I go forward, just get my back, you know, and give me the support when I need it, because I will give you the support when you need it. So here's my challenge. And it is a challenge that I think as males we need to deal with, and we don't. And that is our sexuality. And I'll tell you why I say that. Every time I look at a situation that has escalated out of control, is because the male feels that his manhood, which translates to his sexuality, is being challenged. Read how many times you see in the newspaper that men say, the first thing women say when they break up is, you ain't good in bed. And that is what causes males to suddenly react stupidly, right? And rather than deal or learn how to deal with it, we roll over and play dead.
But you going right back.
I am telling you because personal experience. I remember my sister gonna kill me for this, but I remember my sister. Right, when I got divorced, spending 2 weeks with me, liming and all kind of thing, and going back to Trinidad, last thing she said to me at the airport, I like you real bad. You're a nice guy. I could talk to you about anything. You're fun to be with. You know, we talk about anything. Your wife left you. Do you ever see in bed? I say, you're my sister. You ain't gonna never know. And I laughed it off. But that's the first thing that females go to when there's a break in the relationship and men react in a hostile manner. All the time. You mentioned in emotional intelligence, a man who cries girly, girly. It always comes to that, and our males don't know how to deal with it. A man should learn to take a horn. The language comes in different ways, but it says the same thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, but I had to pelt that rock. It was in my back pocket.
But I will tell you this. We need to get to a position. And I will borrow this line from one of my good friends there, Lennox Rochester, where he said, a hard penis does not make you a man.
Ah, I'm glad you say so. Well, I told my brother the length of it is not what makes him. You used to stop looking in my conversations. My brother and I had a conversation. I tell you, my family, my relatives would kill me. My brother was a heartthrob. Ladies used to throw themselves in front of cars and jump off of tall buildings to catch his attention. And one day I said to him, what are these stupid women seeing you, though? And he dropped his bath towel. I say, boss, the biggest ones I've seen are on donkeys. I never hear anybody say, what a man. They just say, water. And I use the A word. And he chased me around the house, threatening to cut off mine. But I take your point. But, sir, when your manhood, your masculinity is attacked, agree with me on that one. A lot of men react foolishly.
Of course.
They react foolishly. So we got to learn how to react to those arguments.
Yeah,
for those attacks.
What we perceive as our masculinity is attacked. Yes, you definitely do.
We react stupidly.
There's a defense mechanism that goes up, but we really
correct.
Need to.
So learn to deal with it.
But that's where we know we have to start to look at ways in which we can empower men. We're making even build confidence, get to know self. I think that a lot of the men that I would have come across have a challenge with knowing self, knowing who you are, knowing where you fit in society, mm-hmm. knowing your
and being comfortable with the role that you have to play.
And being comfortable with self. Yeah. And that is where a lot of the emotional support lies. That is where I continue to make a call, even on this International Men's Day. I would like to see the evolution of so many more men's groups in Barbados. I mean, just giving the support. You just made mention of so many men, the statistics that are alarming. But we just can't sit back idly and say, well, okay, we have men's fellowship, we have the men's groups in the polyclinics mm-hmm. and whatever. Mm-hmm. We need to have these community groups emerging from St. Lucie to St. Philip. We need to have gender-specific programming in schools. Mm-hmm. We need to find ways to reach these young men. There are men that, I am telling you, who portray this real bad boy thing mm-hmm. because that's what they see as manly. But inside, they are hurting. You know,
good.
Even adults.
And
a lot of these adults, men, that we see portraying what we consider as negative behaviors are broken children because their socialization and how they were treated as boys, not being able to express emotions, not being able to be themselves, you know, and developing a false sense of self. A lot of that is what plagued them throughout their adulthood.
Save it for Sunday sober. Let me tell you this in parting, right? Let me tell you this. My parting shot would be this, right? Sometimes it is the response that makes us see how acute the problem is. Because I made mention of it in my comment to you, that when you look at schools headed by females, classes headed by females, female teachers reacting with males, the answer usually, more male teachers in the system. And we just had something circulating with a male teacher and a male student having interactions that are anything but positive. See the point I'm making about why we find ourselves in the situation where we throw our hands in the air, as you said, and I tell you, I get slapped down too, because sometimes what we say we should do doesn't assist the problem. It sometimes aggravates it. And then we ask, why are the boys on the block following the male leaders on the block? Reach them at a level that they understand.
And what I will say to you, important as well, is that when we say what we say we would do, I would like us to do what we say. And that will probably make the difference because we have a lot of consultants. You have a lot of people who can tell you what to do, but they are not doing it. They're not looking at where they stay in the particular equation. So when we start to use the I statements and look at I in the equation and how we influence our own behaviors, how we parent our own children, and how we influence the environment, then we will start to see a change.
There you go, sir. I thank you. And the best of the rest of the day to you too.
I'll see him to you, sir.
Thank you. 4341-790. You can send a WhatsApp message to 266-4862. Or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. I got to share this one with you for just sheer humorous value. I got to tell you, there's some people who I get messages from, right? That they should really script for laugh it off. You know, they make some money and actually laugh. Got a note here that says, driving home listening to you, I had to send a note. I guess man's emotional and psychological Achilles heel is in his pants. That is priceless. The heel in the pants is just priceless. That is priceless. Clear off the bat. And speaking of which, one of my colleagues sent me this note. Men's Talk, open discussion for men only, exploring prominent issues affecting the lives of men every day, from social, professional, mental, physical health, personal, family, business, and more. Saturday, November 21st, 5 p.m. sharp, the Mani Lifestyle Center, Back Ivy, St. Michael, described as a blue and orange building next to the pavilion. So that is, I was told 10 seconds. I think I got it in 8.5. So did what you asked me to do. Follow instructions. Brass Stacks, good afternoon. Hello. 4341-790 happens when we take our breaks. People usually put the phone down and walk away and try to get back on track and online. Brass Stacks, 4341-790. John is trying to reach the callers to make sure that they're still there and they still want to engage. Sunday's program should be interesting then, given the comments that I'm seeing in some of the WhatsApp messages that I'm receiving here. Brastax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Mr. Johnson. Mm-hmm. Well, it's still the problem at the government department that they're not answering the phone and National Insurance Pension Checks is still distributed in an unfair manner that some people still don't get the pension in time when they're distributed to the post office. And there's a problem at Eagle Hall post office right now that people are getting on bad for them for the checks.
What's the problem at Eagle Hall post office?
Well, the postman tell me that people are behaving bad, not receiving the checks, and not making bad for others.
this complaint that we've had from time to time about people unsure about pension checks being delivered and when it's being delivered and how it's being delivered. I know the National Insurance has been urging people to apply online to get their pensions placed at their accounts as opposed to being mailed out. I don't know how many people have taken up the offer. I don't know how many people are in a position to accept that offer, either because their accounts may not be, let me put it this way, maybe more difficult for them to reach their, or more time consuming for them to reach their accounts and for them to go to the post office and get it and pay their bills their one time. Because I know there are people who use the post office as a means of paying their bills, where SurePay, the same way SurePay operates. They pay their light bills and so on there. I've seen it going to the post office. Perhaps as part of the outreach, the post office can engage with those seniors who still collect their pension checks and see if there's another way in which they can assist them. And this too may be something the National Insurance can reach out to the specific pensioners who may have a challenge. You see, sir, the problem that I face sitting here is this. Perhaps it's only my problem, so I'll say the problem I have when I sit here is this. People call with complaints. Sometimes they call on air, sometimes they call off air. And they expect me to be able to help them fix it. The challenge that I have is that I have no ability to fix the problems that they lift. I don't have people at the National Insurance that, you know, I don't want to use the term at my beck and call, but I can pick up the phone and say, hey, you could fix this for person XYZ. What I try to do is hope that someone from the National Insurance who has my contact information calls me and says, can you get the information on this person? And I will reach out to them and I will try to assist them. I know there are hosts of this program who have closer connections to the various people who can call them and get a response. I can't. So it worries me when those issues are raised because I feel just as helpless as the person calling. And the most I could say is, have you called the National Insurance? Do you get a response? Is there anyone else who could help you? And that becomes the problem.
Sometimes you call and they're not answering the phone.
I know that,
even
sir.
That's
one of the first things you say, that the number's not answering.
Yes, I don't know what you mean. There's no look into this situation as well. What are you interested?
Sir, I could tell you that if the ministers look into it, the ministers may run into the same problem that you run into. No, I am serious. I highlighted it this morning. The same way people expect the Fair Trading Commission to fix prices when the Fair Trading Commission is not a price control mechanism. It does have a consumer affairs section, but it says nothing about controlling prices in it. The same way people assume that when they talk to the minister will instruct somebody to do something on their behalf. In some cases, the minister could only ask because the level of command does not start or end at the minister. It starts with the administration of an organization that has a management structure, that has a board, and the minister is supposed to give broad directives to the board, and the managers are supposed to manage the organizations. So the minister could ask, for example, what's the latest figures on the NIS, where the fund stands, how many people are claiming, how many claims outstanding. Somebody got an answer. And the answer got to come from somebody down the line who may not like the minister and say, oh, he want that way, he can wait. Hey, my party in power, he feel the heat. And you can't tell the person to go down home.
But something still have to be done.
I agree with you, I just tell you, I don't know how to help you fix it. honestly, after somebody has worked all their life, right, and they're dependent on their pension, they should be able to be certain that if it's going to come on the 12th, if the 12th is a Saturday, it will arrive on the 11th. If it's supposed to come on the 21st of January, and the 21st of January is Errol Barrow Day, then unless the 20th is a Sunday, they should have it to do whatever they want to do by the 20th. I believe that, sir.
Right.
If you're sick and you need the money from your claim for sickness benefit, and you need it to pay the doctor, and you need it to buy your medicine, you should get it and you needed to buy a cup of coffee so you could have in the morning right. with a little dry biscuit, you should have it. I agree. You shouldn't be looking out every day to see if the postman come in. Right. And if the postman just pass and wave, you say, geez, I got to look tomorrow again. And today's the 13th already, you know, that kind of thing. It ain't fair. Your blood pressure will go up and you get heart palpitations in addition to whatever wrong with you. So I know what I'm talking about. I'll be sick often.
The process is too slow, though, I see. So
I agree with you. I agree there's something wrong with the process, but I don't know what the process is.
Yeah. And another point, I'm talking about the collection, the runoff water and the rainfall now, like BWA has so much rainfall this year. They're waiting on China to come in on a better plant now.
Yeah. Yeah. In the hope that it will continue to rain, I suppose.
All right,
I'm glad. I'm glad at least you could smile at it, because I smile too, sir. I thank you. Brass Stacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
It is.
How are you doing?
I good.
I just called to speak about a little problem here at the license authority.
Mm-hmm.
Because you go and you get your license, and then you pay the, if you're going to pay for a year, you pay the $50, and then you're hearing that they don't have, you know, the cars are where you normally put your name and picture on.
Mm-hmm.
And this is about nearly 3 weeks. And the thing that really worry is you can't get from the Pine or down the whole town all to the places like the breakdown. So I don't know what's going on.
So I don't know either. I have no idea either. There are several issues associated with the licensing authority, the issuing of stickers for the cars, the issuing of those things have been pending for a long while, and I have no idea what the issues are. Can't help
but
at all.
They tell you now that you can't drive. When you pay for the license, and you get your receipt, they're telling you that you shouldn't drive because you really don't have what
you don't have the own thing. You don't have the receipt.
Yeah,
I know. Puts you in an awkward position.
Yeah, that's what they tell you, don't drive, because
if you get stopped, the only thing you have is a receipt.
Yeah, and they said that they will give you 24 hours to produce the license. You can't produce the license in 24 hours when the machine and everything breaks down.
So, is the machine broken now?
That's what I was being told.
Right, and that's my question, because I am not sure sometimes that what is being said is actually what it is, and perhaps I shouldn't be suspicious or I shouldn't have these suspicions, but I think sometimes you're just told what's the easiest thing to say, you know? The machine breakdown, or we having problems with this, so there's no pictures being taken at X place, or you have to go to the Pine for that. And sometimes I'm not, I don't know, I just ask myself, really, they break down that often?
But unfortunately is that you can't go down whole town either.
Which is why I was about to tell you, there's some places that don't have cameras, or the camera's not working, or there's some other issue that you don't know what it is.
You go in and you get your license, the expectation you're able to drive, and
you can't drive.
You don't got the, we call it the book, you better go back to the book.
I hope we never go back to that. That's the truth. Because we will find another problem with that. So look, my thing is, or my the reason why I'm putting it this way is this. We get told things that we just accept and we walk away. So you go to the BRA, or you go to the licensing authority, or you go to ShorePay, you go to some place where you're supposed to pay money, and you're told the machine is offline, or the system is being upgraded. There's no, it's going to take 5 minutes, it's going to take 10 minutes, stand in line, come back in half an hour. There is no definite thing said to you. I am sure you are not told the machine will be fixed in 2 days, or the machine will be fixed in 24 hours, or come back tomorrow at noon and we'll be ready to do it. Were you told that? No. Which is why I have suspicions about what we told sometimes. because to me it's just an open-ended excuse. I don't know why it happens, but it happens far too often. Thanks for raising the issues, though.